Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Gimel. And we're holding two lines from the bottom of the Amud where we have Rav Yosef Omar. What is Rav Yosef going back on? Remember, we started our Masechta yesterday, and the first Machloikis in the Mishnah was a Machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about a Beya Shanol de Biyantiv, where Beis Hillel says, Lo Yisoichal, you're not allowed to eat that Beya Shanol de Biyantiv on Yantiv. You can eat it the next day. You can't eat it on Yontav itself. And the Gemara asked, B'maya skinan, what is the machloikis? And we had so far two pshatim yesterday. We had the pshat of Rav Nachman, and we had the pshat of Rabba. The pshat of Rav Nachman was that the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel has to do with Hilchois, Muktza, and Noilad. The Beis Shammai says, Ichaltech, I hold like Rav Shimon. And Reb Shimon holds there is no din of mukta or noilad, and therefore, you're allowed to go and be metaltal the egg, you're allowed to go and eat the egg. Or Beis Hillel says, no, there is a din of tiltal and noilad, because I hold like Reb Yehuda. Since I hold like Reb Yehuda, lo yisoicha, you're not allowed to be metaltal the egg, and you're not allowed to go and eat the egg. The Gemara liked that pshat initially. Good morning, Brother Shai. We just started a minute ago. The Gemara liked that pshat initially, and then the Gemara said, but I got a problem, because if that's the case, why don't we have the Mishnah say that the Machloikis is both on the Tarnagolis Ubeitasa, and say not only about the egg, but even about the mommy, the hen. Why don't we say that as well? And because of that, the Gemara said, you know what, let's go to another pshat. And that second pshat was the pshat of Achana de Rabba. The Rabba says that any time an egg is laid on Shabbos or on Yontif, it was Nigmara the day before. That's when the full Hachana was made for this egg. Now, even though this Hachana was not made by you or me, it was Hachana b'day Shemayim, says Rabba, the Torah requires that Hachanas for Shabbos and Yontif be made chol. It says by the Mon, Vayavir Nashishi Veichinu Eis Hasher Yovil. You have to have a hachana from choil to Shabbos or a choil to Yomtiv, and we didn't have that hachana from choil, therefore, no good. That was pshat number two. And even though the Gemara said that l'choira only applied to Yomtiv shecholiyos b'yom rishoy on Sunday, because then the egg has the benefit of the hachana from Shabbos, says the Gemara al gzeira, if you will, loy plug, we said, you know what? Every day of the week, the same halacha will apply. If a beya is laid on Yontif, it's usher that day. But now the Gemara is going to give two brand new pshatim. Pshat number three, Rav Nachman, Hachana de Rabba, and now Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Omar, Gezeira Mishum, Peiros HaNoishrin. What happens if a fruit falls off a tree on Shabbos or Yontif, and you pick it up, and it looks gishmak, you know what you might come to do? You might come to be tolesh to go and pull off another fruit from the tree. Because you have guests at home, an apple fell down, this apple looks delicious, but you can't just give out one apple for a whole suda for all your guests. So you might shemayal aviyitloish. You'll see that the fruit really looks great. You'll have that yetzahara to go and pull off a few more fruit on Shabbos or Yom Tov, which is prohibited. If that's the case, let's extend this gezeira to a beishanol de Yom Tov, because a beishanol de Yom Tov is in a sense similar to this brand new fruit that fell off the tree. This is the brand new fruit of the hen that just fell out of the hen. It says the Gemara, therefore, just like Peiros HaNoshrin, we have a gezeira, Mishum Shemiyal V'Yitloish, we have a similar gezeira, the Gabe, the Beis Shanol de Yontif. So you see in the two lines from the bottom of Beis Amid Beis, Rav Yosef Omer Gezeira Mishum Peiros HaNoshrin, that's why the Beis Shanol de Yontif is Osir Aliba de Beis Hillel. Omele Abayas, Abayas says, I don't understand. Peiros HaNoshrin themselves are really not osir. In other words, if a priest falls off of the tree on Yom Tov, there's no isra. I didn't do anything wrong. What's the issue? But time am I, what's the reason why I say, don't go and eat from those pages and Oshim? The person might have that Yetzirah to go and climb up the tree and pull off another fruit or two. And that would be a problem. Is Dr. Yomara, that's the reason why we're goyzer similarly by the Veyesh and Oda Biyantif. Freit Yomara, come on. He goof a gzeira, but not nekab, the nigzer, gzeira le gzeira. The choyot is a gzeira le gzeira. Because the only reason why Peiris hanoishim are osir is because maybe Yishem yalav yitlash. And now you want to go one step further and say, don't even eat from an egg, shenol de biyamtiv, because otu Peiris hanoishim. Peiris hanoishim mitzah atzmam, there's no problem. It's only because of a gzeira, mishum shem yalav yitlash. It's a double gzeira. That if you're going to go and eat from this egg on Yom Tov, then you might come to go and eat from a pre Shenoisher on Yom Tov. And if you eat from a pre Pesach on Ashrim, you might come to go and Shem Yalav Yimash. So that's a two-step process. So he says, Imar, isn't that a Gzeira the Gzeira? Everything more a Kula Chod Gzeiri. What is Kula Chod Gzeiri? Explains Rashi. When the Chacham originally were Gozer Mishem Pesach on Ashrim, when they wrote the original rules, they threw in, and anything similar to Peiris HaNoishrim, such as the case of the Be'yesh and Olda Biyantif. And Rashi says, even though by Be'yesh and Olda Biyantif, this inyan of Shema Yalav Yitloish doesn't apply, presumably because it's not Mechuba LeKarka, the whole din of Klisha, of Ktsira, is only something is Mechuba LeKarka. If, for instance, you are taking a tomato, which is still attached to the vine, and you cut that vine on Shabbos when it's attached to the ground, you're over on Melechus Koitzer. But if you bought these tomatoes with the vine attached to it, and therefore you pay double or triple because you call them organic tomatoes, and you cut the vine, then there's no problem because it's Tolish, it's not Mechuber. Here too, the egg inside the mami is not Mechuber the Karka. So there's no din of Felicia. But it's only because it's part of this larger gezeira. Let's see Rashi in the second line from the top of the Amud of Rashi. Chod gezeira hi. Loisha tehei zu gezeira. To le leisi lidei peiris hanoishim. It's not pshat that the Chacham added on a second gezeira. Don't go and eat a beish and hold a beyond, because you might come to eat from peiris hanoishim. And then if you eat from peiris hanoishim, you might come to be shemiyala v'yitloish. No! Elikisha nimnu v'gozo on peiris hanoishim. When they made that initial gezeira on peiris hanoishim, af beya hoisim v'mashma, they threw into the definition, into the category of peiris hanoishim, also eggs. The Avagah blessed by Mishum Kalisha, even though there's no svara of Shema Yalav Yitloish, you're not going to climb up the tree to cut off the egg from the hen. So when they made the Gzeda Peiris HaNoishin, and they defined the category of Peiris HaNoishin, they threw in eggs, which were just laid by the hen. So that's the svara of Veisil HaMishim. Yeah, what's the connection?
I still don't see any connection between an egg that was born on Yom Tov and Peiros Shalishu. Rashi, I mean, what is Rashi trying to tell us? What is the similarity?
Okay.
I can't absorb the difference, the similarity.
If you bear a little bit, another couple of minutes, the Gemara is going to say the Svara, why an egg is considered to be like Peiros HaNoishim. We'll get to it in another minute or two. But this was Rav Yosef. Now we have Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says a very, very similar svara, a similar pshat in Beisil. Rav Yitzchak, Omer Gzeira Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. Besides Mashkin Shezavu. As we know, you're not allowed to go and take fruit and squeeze them out and drink from the squeezings in Shabbos or Yom Tov. There are exceptions to the rule. You can go and squeeze it into tea, for instance, or into at least the sugar that you put in the tea. I don't want to go halacha lemaisa, but as a general rule, you're now allowed to go and squeeze out fruits on Shabbos or Yom Tov. If you have grapes, you can't squeeze them out to make grape juice. If you have olives, you can't squeeze them to make olive oil. And the reason is because it's a tolda didosh. which is, the Gemara calls it also the farek, where you are separating one thing from the other. Here you're separating the juice from the oichel, so this is prohibited. Okay, Zokti Gemara, what happens if I have fruit in a bowl in my refrigerator, and I take out the fruit on Shabbos to go and serve and to eat, and I see that there's some liquid on the bottom of the bowl? Why? Because apparently because of the pressure of the upper fruit over the lower fruit, some of the lower fruit leaked, and therefore there's some juice on the bottom of the bowl. Am I allowed to go and drink from that? Yeah, why not? What's the problem? The answer is no, you're not allowed to. If it flowed on that day, if it flowed already on Friday or Thursday, it's not a problem. But if it seeped out on Shabbos, you cannot. What's the reason why? For the same slaughter that we had before. Because if you're going to allow people to go and drink from that seeped out juice, a person might come to go and squeeze the grapes, squeeze the fruit to get the juice out, and that you're not allowed to because of farik, because of dosh, and therefore that's prohibited. So now the Gemara says the chamur goizer, similarly, you're not allowed to go and take out, you're not allowed to take the brand new egg that was laid that day, just like this is brand new liquid that oozed from the fruit. This is a brand new egg that oozed from the hen, and therefore it's a gzeira. You're not allowed to go and eat it on that day when it's born in Shabbos or Yom. And the same discussion as before. Amalei Abaye, mashkin shezovu taim amai. What's the problem with real mashkin shezovu from fruit juices that oozed? What's the reason why gzeira shem yischar? He might come to go and squeeze it. So he gufa gzeira, v'nanekem v'nigz gzeira gzeira. In other words, we're saying don't eat from the egg that was laid on Yom Tov. You know why? Because you might come to then eat or drink from the mashkin shezovu. So what's wrong with that? The mashkin shezovu is awesome because shem yischait. So it's a gzeira gzeira. It's a two-step process. So in bazoi, the chum don't make a gzeira gzeira. When they originally made that first gzeirah, what was the category of fruits and fruit juices that was included in that category? Included in that category was also eggs, not just fruits. And again, I know that Mr. Friedlander is bothered, what is the similarity between the fruits and the eggs? And Mietzchem the Gemara will discuss that in another moment. So, at this point, Rabbi said, we have now four pshatim in our Mishnah. Again, we're trying to understand why Basil says don't eat eggs that were laid on Yom Tov. First reason had was Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that the reason is because Basil holds like Rav Yehuda, a din of Mukta, a din of Noilad. Second pshat, we had Achana de Rabba, because if it was laid on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, that means the Achana was the day before, and that even if it was Achana b'day Shemoyim, but you're supposed to have something that was Mukhan on Yimei Chol, and not if it was Mukhan on Yimei Kodesh. Third pshat, we had was Rav Yosef, Mishum Peiris and Nashrim, and this fourth pshat of Rav Yitzchak, Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. And now the Gemara asks on each of the Mandi Omrim, why didn't they say like the other pshat? It's Kulik Rav Nachman Le Amri. Everybody, meaning Rava, Rav Yosef, and Rav Yitzchok, they didn't learn like Rav Nachman. Why? Kikushyan. Because of the kasha that the Gemara left us with at the end of the discussion of Nachman yesterday. What was that kasha? That if the machloik is between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai has to do with Mukta, why are we talking about the egg? Let's talk about the Tana Goylis itself. Elamai, you want to go and tell me, Leidiecha Koychoi de Beis Shammai, that he's Mekel, even in the case of the Noilad. So let it go and say, Tana Goylis Ubeit Zasa. Why does it only focus on the egg? And therefore the Gemara said, I reject Rav Nachman's pshat. And we went on yesterday to Achana Derab. The Karaba Namli Amri, the reason why Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef don't hold like Rabba, because Achana Leslehu, they don't hold of the din of Rabba. Meaning, either they don't hold of the whole concept that there is some sort of obligation or requirement that all the foods of Shabbos or Yom Tov be prepared, be made chol, or even if they do hold of this requirement that it should be prepared, Yimei Chol, maybe they don't hold the din of Achana B'day Shemayim. After all, I didn't do the Hachana. You didn't do the Hachana. This was the Hem that did the Hachana because of the blessing of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, maybe this whole concept of Hachana doesn't apply. My time, why Rabbi Yosef, who said today because of Peres HaNoishrin, why didn't he learn like Rabbi Yitzchak, Mishim Mashkin Shezavu? Oh, Malach, says Rabbi Yosef, I'll tell you why. Because Beya is an Oichla. Peres is an Oichla. Lafuki Mashkin Delav Oichla. Ah. So now the Gemara is responding to Mr. Friedlander's question of about 5 minutes ago. What is the parallel, what is the similarity between the Beya and the Pri? And the answer is that until today, this Beya was, if you will, unreachable, because the Beya was still inside the hen's stomach. That doesn't mean that you couldn't theoretically try to extract it by putting in your fingers or through a spoon or whatever, but the Maisa, this was not on this world yet. It was still embedded inside the mani, and it's an ochel, it's something that you eat, not something that you drink. Ah, the same thing applies to these oichlin. These fruits that were on the tree were also, quote-unquote, unreachable. On Shabbos, I couldn't go and pull the fruit off, because it's an iser of kotzer, tolesh, you're not allowed to. However, if it falls off on its own, oh, now I can reach it, now I can take it. Minatoyer, you aren't allowed to take it. Minatoyer, you're allowed to go and eat it. The only problem with Pesach notion is Shema Yalav Yiglosh. So then both of these, in a sense, are brand new, that just came into existence today. That until now I didn't have the egg, until now I didn't have the fruit. Just like the fruit that just was laid, in the sense that it just fell off the tree. Oh, now I can go and eat it. No, Shema Yalav Yiglosh. No, this egg also is brand new on the horizon. I didn't have it until now. So therefore the Chachamim, when they made the category of Peyus and Oishrin, they broadened it not only to your normal, regular tree fruits, but also to hen fruits. The fruits of the hen in the form of the egg. Hopefully, Robert, that addresses some of your question. So this is... So that's why Rav Yitzchak says, I prefer my pshat, I don't like, says Rav Yosef, I prefer my pshat of Peres HaNoishrin, I don't like Rav Yitzchak's pshat of Mashkin Shezavu, because Lafukin Mashkin Zalav Oichla. Mashkin, by definition, is a liquid. An egg, by definition, is a solid. And so therefore, I prefer saying that the Gezeira that caused Beis Hillel to Aser eating eggs on Yom Tov that were laid that day, is because of a Peres HaNoishrin, a parallel of a solid, of a food item, rather than Mashkin Shezavu, which is a liquid item. What about Rabbi Yitzchak? Rabbi Yitzchak, my time in the Yomek Rabbi Yosef. Mechay Rabbi Yosef has a very, very good point. Why didn't Rabbi Yitzchak learn like Rabbi Yosef, that it's Peres HaNoishrin? Or Malach says, Rabbi Yitzchak, I'll tell you why. Beya Blua, Umashkin Bluin. Lafuki Peirish in the Gali Vekaimu, says Rabbi Yitzchak, because if there is a similarity, the similarity is much stronger between the Beya and the Mashkin. The reason is because on Shabbos morning, when I looked at the hen, I didn't see the egg. The egg only came out later. On Christ after Musaf, I'm going to Kiddush. Oh, somebody tells me, you know what? We have a delicious, fresh, new egg that you can eat now for Kiddush on Yom Tov. Go and cook it up. After Yom Tov, you like to cook, and we'll have a delicious egg. Oh, yeah, Beya Blu. Until now, Beya was non-existent. It was embedded in the mommy's stomach or womb or whatever it's called. Umashke Blu, and the mashke also was non-existent. It was Blu. It was inside the fruit. I didn't see the mashke. I didn't see the Beya. Lafuki Peiris in the Gal of the Kaima. Even though the Peiris didn't fall off the tree yet, but I look at the tree, oh, look at all these magnificent Peiris! So therefore, there's a major difference in the Metzius of the Peiris and the Beya. The Beya was non-existent until now, the Peiris were in existence. And that's why, says Rabbi Yitzchak, I rather compare the Beya to Mashkin Shezavu than to the case of the Peiris HaNoishrin. So these are our four pshatim: Rav Nachman, Hachana de Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yitzchak. Says Imar Afra Biyoychen and Sabar Gzeinu Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak that the reason why Beis Hillel assers in the Mishnah is because of Mashkin Shezavu. How do I know that Rabbi Yochanan is going to Mishnah Mashkin Shezavu? Rabbi Yochanan Rami to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan asks a stira Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. And from that stira we'll be able to see Rabbi Yochanan's mindset and his approach. Umeshani, and Rabbi Yochanan gives an answer. What's the stira Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda? Now, we learned in one Mishnah, Ein Tzoichon Es HaPeiros L'Hoitzin Ehen Mashkin. On Shabbos or on Yontif, you're not allowed to go and squeeze out the peiros to get out the mashkin. However, if they went that on their own, then it's asur. Well, what's going on over here? Ein Tzoichon, of course, is min ha-toyre, because that's a din of kotzer, the din of Tzoichon is because it's dosh, it's mefarek, that you are now separating one thing from the other. You're separating the juice from the salad, from the fruit. That's asur min ha-toyre. What happens if they came out on their own? Asurin midrabanan. What's the din drabanan? Like the Gemara said before, gzeira shema yischoik, you might come to go and squeeze and get out some more juice. That's the Tanakh. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, imli oichlin, if the reason why you have these fruits in the first place is not to go and drink from the fruit, but eat the fruit, hayoytze mehen mutter. As you know, in the stores nowadays, they sell both regular oranges and they sell what's called juice oranges. Regular oranges, most people eat. Juice oranges are not for eating, although people certainly eat them. However, they're mostly meant for squeezing and making orange juice. So therefore, if you have juice oranges and the juice oranges have a little hold and some of the juice comes out of the orange, and then you were to drink it, and you say, you know, this is delicious. This orange juice tastes better than Tropicana. It even tastes better than Golden Flow orange juice. It's magnificent. I want to go and squeeze out some more juice oranges and get more juice, and then, geschmack. That, of course, is problematic, because you're going to come to be soaked. But however, if I bought regular oranges to eat, and guess what's happening? There's some juice which is oozing. Not only am I not interested in that juice, I mean, I might drink it because of baltashkas, I don't want to get rid of it, I'll drink it. That's not why I bought the oranges. If anything, I might be annoyed. I don't want these oranges which have the, which are already leaking. I want good, solid, strong oranges to be able to eat the oranges because I love eating oranges. Says Dr. Rabbi Yehuda, if the reason why you bought the fruit was to eat them, you have nothing to worry about that even if some juice oozes, you're not going to come to go and squeeze the fruit because these fruit are meant to eat. If you bought the fruit for purposes of the mashka, in fact it would be also because you say, oh, the juice is so great, let me go and squeeze some more of the fruit. Anyway, what do I... Yes, Robert. We're talking about size. Makes no difference, Shabbos or Yom Tov. Any type of machshir that you can do from before Yom Tov, you should do before. I mean, our Mishnah, of course, is talking on Yom Tov. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Kzeir mishemashkin shezavu." So he's saying that on Yom Tov, going and squeezing it out would be prohibited because of the malacha of koitzer or tolish. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So the Rabbi Yehuda is distinguishing between oichlin and mashkin. He says by oichlin it's mutter. Zokti Mar Alma says Rabbi Yochanan, kol oichlin Rabbi Yehuda oichla di afresu. I see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything that's broken off from a salad is called oichla di afresu. Oichla di afresu means that you're just breaking off a piece of food from an existing permissible piece of food. In other words, for instance, every single Shabbos a Yom Tov, are you allowed to go and cut a challah to get the hamotzi to eat? Of course. What's the problem with that? You're cutting it. That's min hatolish, not min habachuber. Here you're talking about taking an oichel from an oichel. What's the oichel you're taking from an oichel? If you're talking about the fruit that I bought for oichlin for eating, even though some of the liquid may have oozed from it, it's considered to be the liquid that's oozing is almost like a solid. Not that it's mamish a salad, but we just need to say it's a break off from a salad. It's not a mashkin shizovu issue, because I'm not interested in squeezing these oranges. I'm interested in eating the oranges. So any fruit juice that seeps out, it's just, if you will, an addendum, a supplement to the ochel. It's ochel al-frisur, and it's not a problem. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I have another mishnah, another price of the Oyram Rabbi Yehuda. Master Odom al Kalkolish or Babis beyond the Rishon va'Oichel b'Shein. Now this first part of Rabbi Yehuda is unrelated to our sugya, and it's talking about a person who's making an Eruv Tavshilin for Yontif. Or, make it easier, it's talking about that he is being mafresh Trumas u'Masras b'Yontif. What means Trumas u'Masras? As you know, min dirabbanon, you're not allowed to be mafresh, truma, or meiser on Shabbos or on Yontif. Why not? Gzeira mishum tikkun mana. Because it looks like he is going and he's being masakin, he's fixing the food. He's not fixing it by banging it with a hammer or nail, but he's fixing it by allowing you to eat. Until now it was tevel, and now you're giving truma to meiseris, tikkun mana. Also min dirabbanon. Here in Chutz Laaretz, we have a two-day Yontif. And as we'll see, Mitchum in the Amud Beis, here we're talking about not only on a regular Yontif, but also on Rosh Hashanah, that you have 2 days of Yontif. Okay, so what's the din when you have 2 days of Yontif? It's going to be Rosh Hashanah, Mitchum, next week. What happens if you're in Eretz Yisrael? On the first day of Yontif, you have Tevel, and you want to eat from the fruits, but you can't. It's Tevel. We're talking about, and next week it'll already be Shmita yet. But we're talking about fruits from Shishas, from this year. So, if you want to eat from them, you have to give Trumas and Maizes. It's the first day of Yontif. You can't go and give Trumas and Maizes today, because it's Tikkun Mana. I have a good idea. I make it tonight. And I say, Rabbi Mishalai, you're the only one that knows for sure, when is Yontif? Is it the first day of Yontif? Or is it the second day of Yontif? If today happens to be Yontif, I am saying nothing, Rabbi Mishalai. Ich zog garnished. If, however, today happens to be choil, then I want this 10% that I'm putting on the side, this should be trumas and maisers on this fruit. In other words, 2% for a truma and 10% for maiserishin, 10% for maaser sheni, and that's what I'm going to do the first day of Yontif. And then the second day of Yontif, I say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, remember what I did yesterday. I said that yesterday, if it was Kodesh, I'm not saying anything, but if yesterday was chol, I'm mafish trumas and maisers. I'm repeating the same thing today at Kodesh Baruch Hu. If today happens to be Kodesh, ich zog garnished. If today happens to be Chayil, I'm being mafresh to Trumas and Maisris today. So says Reb Yehuda, Miman of Shach, you'll be able to go and eat from the fruits on day number 2 of Yontif. Why? Because if the first day was Chayil, he was mafresh Trumas and Maisris. If the second day was Chayil, he was mafresh Trumas and Maisris. So Miman of Shach, he was mafresh one of the 2 days. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, Master Adam of Kosher, Pesach, the Yontif Rishon, the Oichel B'Sheni is able to go and eat from that basket of fruits on Yontif Sheni, the second day. And says Rabbi Yehuda, V'chein Be'yish in Oldem Rishon, if I had a Be'y that was laid on day 1, next week on Tuesday, on Yontif Rosh Hashanah, Toichel B'Sheni, I'm allowed to eat it on the second day, I mean on Wednesday, second day of Rosh Hashanah, I'm allowed to eat it. That's the end of this Braisa of Rabbi Yehuda. And now, Rabbi Yochanan is Medayik. It's only on day number 2 you can eat it. Mishaini in Parisha Loi. You're not allowed to eat it on the first day. Why can't you eat it on the first day? Says Rabbi Yochanan. After all, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds that any time that you have an ochel, and something comes out of that ochel, it's ochel the afrisu, it's just a break off from the ochel, it's like a piece of challah that you cut from a larger challah, or a piece of meat that you cut off from a roast, it's a pulka that you pulled off of the chicken. No problem in doing that on Shabbos or on Yontif. It's Oichel Avris. So here too, asks Reb Yochanan, isn't this a steer Reb Yehuda on Reb Yehuda? Just like in the case of the Mashkin Shezavu, if it's an Oichel Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. What do you mean that it's an oichel? That I want these fruits for eating? It's an oichel of the afris. You're allowed to go and drink from that mashkin shezovu on yontif. Says Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, by the Beis Shanol de Barishon, you're allowed to go and eat it b'sheini in Barishon. No, you can't eat it the first day. Ask Rabbi Yehuda, why not? After all, according to Rabbi Yehuda holds that mashkin shezovu only applies to liquids. It doesn't apply to a solid. And so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda should hold this shita aside that you're allowed to eat the Beis Shanol de Barishon on the first day of yontif, not only on the second day of yontif. That was the kasha that Rabbi Yochanan asked. Now, l'chayre, there's no kasha. Why is there no kasha? Because the first Rabbi Yehuda is talking about mashkin shezavu. And that's why he said, yes, if it's l'ochlin, it's mutter. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds in the second braisa that it's asr is for other reasons. Maybe because of peiros hanoshrin. Maybe because of hachana derabba. Maybe because of Rav Nachman. For other reasons. Why does Rabbi Yochanan automatically assume that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Be'er Shenol de Biyontif is also Barishon is because of Mashkin Shezavu? And then he asks a steer, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. The two Rabbi Yehudas are unrelated. The second Rabbi Yehuda that asks could be for any one of the other three reasons. Because of Peiros HaNoishrin, because of Achana de Rabba, etc. Elamai, since I see that if Yochanan asks this stira, is the chasim that he holds that the reason for Rabbi Yehuda and for Beis Hillel in the Mishnah is because of Mashkin Shezavu. Anyway, that's the raya that the Gemara said. The Gemara started off the shtickle. The Avraham Yochanan saw the Gzein Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. Where do we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the reason for the Isser of Beis Shanol de Leontin is Mashkin Shezavu? By the fact that he asked the stira, Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara goes off on a tangent, if you will. Umeshani, and Rabbi Yochanan answers this here. We no longer need this for purposes of our Gemara, because all we wanted to establish was that Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Rabbi Yitzchak that the issur of eating an egg on Yontif is because of Gzeina Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. We have already concluded that discussion. We have a very strong right. But now that we ask the Kasha, the Gemara wants to know, well, what is the answer? So we're going to have a series of three answers. Answer number one is Rabbi Yochanan himself answered, Mukhlefes Ashita, that we have to switch around Rabbi Yehuda and the Tana of the first Mishnah. Then the first Mishnah, when it says that in Ein Sochtem Seperis Lahoitzami and Mashkin, Vin Yotzami Atzman Asurin, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda speaking, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't distinguish between peiros that you bought or that you grew for eating, or peiros that you bought or grew for drinking the juice. It makes no difference across the board. It's asur, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. And now the Rabbanan Oimrim, it depends whether it's laoichlin or lemashkin. Oh, so therefore, that's how Rabbi Yochanan answers the stira. But one thing we see clearly, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Yehuda is going with the approach of Mashkin Shezavu. Because Rabbi Yochanan asked the stira in the first place, that obviously he holds that the two Rabbi Yehudas are talking about the same thing, about Mashkin Shezavu, and that's why it's shver. In one case, he says Mashkin Shezavu, if it's for Ochlin, it's Osir. In the other case, Be'er, which is an Ochel, out Mashkin Shezavu, he says that it's Osir, is the Chastira one on the other. Therefore, he gave the Teretz, Mukhlat Sashita. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the reason for the Isur of eating the egg on Yontif is attributable to the Svara of Mashkin Shezavu. Ravina Omar. All Ravina comes to say is another teretz to the stira of Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina doesn't get involved with the four svaras. In other words, again, we started off today's Gemara. We have four approaches to understand Beis Hillel in the Mishnah, like Rav Nachman, like Rava, like Rav Yosef, like Rav Yitzchak. We now concluded the previous discussion that Rabbi Yochanan also agrees to Rabbi Yitzchak that there's a Gzeira Mishimashmish Zahu, but we have a Steer Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. The only way that Rabbi Yochanan was able to get out of the Steer was through Mechlefas Hashita to switch it around. Rabbi Nahama says, no, you don't have to switch it around. I have another Teret. La'olam lo'itaypuch. Rabbi Yehuda le'divrei mirabban ka'amalahu. Rabbi Yehuda is addressing the Rabban. Lididi, according to me, Rabbi Yehuda, afilabarishinami sharia. I hold, like I said in the first Mishnah, that if you have fruit which are designated for salads to eat, then mashkin shizavu is mutar. And because of that, I hold that if an egg is laid on yontif, it's mutar. You're allowed to eat an egg laid on yontif. It's oichla di afrisu. It's an oichla that broke off from another oichel. It's an egg that broke off from this hen. It's mutter to eat. Before we continue on, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's mutter to eat. But didn't we say that Pesil in the Mishnah says that it's awesome to eat? And therefore, you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Beishamai against Pesil, that he says it's mutter to eat. So the second Tosis asks this Kasha, and second Tosis says that Rabbi Yehuda had a different Mesorah than our Mishnah. His Mesorah is that in fact there is no machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and both of them agree that you are allowed to eat an egg on Yontif. Again, this is Ravina speaking, explaining what Rabbi Yehuda holds. That Rabbi Yehuda holds, Lididi, back to the Gemara, Afilu Barisha Namisharia, you're allowed to eat an egg Shenoga Biyontif, the Oichla di Afrisu, because it's one Oichla that broke off from another Oichla. Says now Rabbi Yehuda Elin Lididchu, like you the Rabbanon, that disagree, Oidali Mias, at least agree with you, the Bishani Sharia, that you are allowed to eat the egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Why? The Shtei Kedusha said, because they're two separate days. It's like your normal, regular Yontiv. That regular Yontiv is that the two are not one long Yom Arichta. These are two separate days. And each day, the reason why we are Noheg Kedusha is because of Safik. So just like by the case of the Trumas of Maestris, I said, well, maybe today was Chol and tomorrow is Kodesh. Maybe today is Kodesh and tomorrow is Chol. And the second day, I repeat the same thing. If yesterday was Chol, today is Kodesh. If yesterday was Kodesh, today is Chol. The same thing applies to the egg. The egg you should be able to eat if it's laid on day one. You should be able to eat it on day two. Because if day one was Chol, so then it's as if it was born on Friday, on Erev Yom Tov. I can eat it on Yontif. Elamai, maybe yesterday was Kodesh. Then fine, then today is Chol. If today is Chol, I can go and eat an egg that is laid today. And so therefore says, Reb Yehuda, to the Rabbanan, at least on the second day of Yontif, agree with me. V'yamadei Rabbanan loy, Kedusha Achasi. If you're talking about a regular Yontif, you're absolutely right. Here we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is different than all other Yom Tovim. Why tak is Rosh Hashanah different than all other Yom Tovim? So Rashi explains that all other Yom Tovim, the reason why we in Chutz La'aretz have 2 days Yom Tov, because we have a Safik. Which day is the real day of Yom Tov? However, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael, they have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. What's the reason why? Because maybe the Edom only came in a mincha ulamala. We don't know when the Edom arrived on the scene. And if the Edom only came in a mincha ulamala, then the Bezdin is only going to accept and crown this new month on the second day. And therefore, says the Gemara, it's different. It has its status of Yom Arichta, one long day. So when it's born, if you have an egg that is laid next week on Tuesday, it's as if it was laid on Wednesday, and if it's laid on Wednesday, it's as if it's Tuesday, because it's all one long day. That's the reason why, when we make a Shechiyonu the second night, we always get these fancy, rare, unique fruits, because the Shaila, what you can go and make a Shechiyonu on the second day of Yontif? It's not a Sveika Dioma like a regular Yontif. It's a Yom Arichta, one long Kedusha, one long Yontif. It's a 48 hour day. So you can't make 2 Shechiyonos the same day. That's why you have the new fruit and you make the Shechiyonu on that and you have in mind for the Yom Tov as well. Anyway, so Rabina has a brand new teretz to the stira, Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a stira. Rabbi Yehuda holds in all cases, if it's le'ochlin, it's mutter. And therefore in our Mishnah, he would hold, Beis Hillel holds that it's mutter. And the only reason why in the second brisa, where he said, on the second day, it's mutter. Where we said a diuk, mashma, the first day is aser. No, don't make such a diuk. According to Yehuda, even the first day is mutter. What he's telling is the Rabbanan, the Didchu, agree with me that on the second day it should be mutter because it's shtei kedushais, and the Chacham say no, it's kedushachas. And now we have another Ravina that gives another teretz to the kasha that Rabbi Yochanan asked. Ravina Breda of Ula Omar, Hocha, Batana Goy, so he means the Gavu Beyim Rabbi Yehuda Letamei, the Islay Mukta. These are two different scenarios. The first case was talking about the first Mishnah that we had on the Amud Aleph of Rabbi Yehuda. That was talking about a Tana Goylis, Hoy Medis L'Achila. You intended going and eating this Tana Goylis, or at least it was within the parasha of those that would be Geshachten on Yontif, because this was in the pen, or in the chicken coop, which was Miyuchad for roosters and hens to be Geshachten, to be eaten. So that being the case, if that hen went and laid an egg, it's uchlad afasu. It's just like another piece, a limb, a piece of the hen fell off. It's not the din of eva menachai. It's an egg, and you're able to go and eat it on yantif. So that is, unless of course you have gzeiris mishum, peir shenoshin, or other isurim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's an uchlad afrasu, just like if you have fruits that you dedicated for eating, and you had some juice spill out or ooze out, you're allowed to go and eat it, because you wanted to eat these fruits and not drink the fruit. Same thing applies to the egg that came out. Zokti Yemara, that was the first Mishnah. What about the second Rabbi Yehuda? Why did the second Rabbi Yehuda hold that you can only eat the egg on day number two, not day number one? That was too many Tanakhoz Mezagabayim. This Tanakhoz was set aside specifically for breeding and for laying eggs. And therefore, it's mukzah to go and shecht on Yontif. You never intended to shecht this on Yontif. You intended to set it aside, the Gadobay. So just like the mommy is asur, then the baby is also asur. And that's what...
Why is it mukzah? If you designated this hen to lay eggs, it was then you get in mind. It's not mukzah. The eggs with the intention is not discarded.
If the eggs would have been around on Erev Yontif, you're absolutely right. However, since they only came out on Yontif itself, you cannot go and be mechen a dovah shalei bala oila. Take, for instance, what happens if you have a storm on Shabbos or on Yontif, and a major limb falls off the tree, a major branch falls off the tree. So you would think, okay, so let's use this branch now for making a fire. So we said, no, you can't do that. Why? Because it's muktzah. Since at the time of Bein HaShemashes, it was still attached to the tree, and you couldn't remove it from the tree, it's katzor the Bein HaShemashes, katzor the kuliyayim. Here too, yes, you're expecting that the Tana Goylis is going to have a beya tomorrow, but it didn't have it yet. It's still attached to the Tana Goylis. So even though I heard on the weather report that there's going to be a terrible storm on the first day of Yom Tov, and I'm sure the branches are going to fall off, I still can't be meichen in advance for that branch, because at the moment of Bein HaShemashes, it's still attached to the tree. So even though I know that this hen is likely to lay eggs tomorrow, but at the time of Bein HaShemashes, it's still attached, it's still balua in the Tana Goylis, it's non-existent, I can't be meichen from the day before. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Zokti Mara Nochmo says, Ravina Breide something or other, Ravina on the lich, which line is it? Ravina Breda of Ula Omar. Hocha Tanakhoz Amez Lagabayim, Rabbiuda Latami, the Islay Mutsa. Kum Tachoyz, so the teretz that Ravina gave, this new Ravina, Ravina Breda of Ula, the teretz and the stira of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. The first Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a hen, a Tanakhoyz, who amedis lachila, and that's why it's mutter. And the second Tanakhoyz, the second prize, is talking about a Tanakhoyz, who amedis lagabayim, and therefore it's mutter. Thank you, Moyetz Meitzvah. We have now a Brice or a Mishnah state. Echad Beishan Olu B'Shabbat, Yechad Beishan Olu B'Yontif. Ey Metalklin Oiso. It's a brand new Beya that was laid on Shabbos or Yontif. It's Mukta. And therefore you cannot be Metalkal it. Loy Lechasis Boyas Akli. What happens if I just broke open a new bottle of wine on Shabbos or Yontif and I don't have a stopper to go and put over the bottle of wine? So I want to go and take the beya and put it on the mouth of the bottle to act as the bottle stopper. You can't do that. For this machbokroyamita, you can't use it to go and support a bed leg or a bedpost. Most of us wouldn't try it because if you put your bedpost on top of the egg, you'll just probably get a broken egg. However, if you know how to do this exactly at the point of the egg, it becomes virtually indestructible, and you can go and support, at least theoretically, kriyamita. You cannot do that. Why? Because it's motza. Since the hen laid the egg, and the egg is now somewhere on the ground or whatever, so somebody might go and step on it. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to go and take a kli and cover it over so it shouldn't go and break. This is not such a simple halacha, because Rashi points out that we've learned elsewhere that Rabbi Yitzchak called ein kli nittel ela ledover hanittel b'Shabbos. You cannot go and be metalkel a kli except for something else which is movable. Since this egg is not movable on Shabbos or Yom Tov, l'choyre according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you wouldn't be allowed to go and be koyfa le'as a kli because ein kli nittel ela ledover hanittel. However, this price says it's okay, it's not an issue. Fine. Now the Brisa continues on with the magic word, Usveika Asura, a suffix is Asur. Now we don't know exactly what the suffix is. Let's address that in another moment. All we know so far, it says that a suffix is Asur. When this Arva the Elif, and if this suffix gets mixed up into 1,000 other eggs, Kulon Asura is all of 1,000 eggs are going to be Asur. So let's think about this now. What is the suffix probably about? Since we're talking about a beya, shenolda b'Shabbos, or b'yamtiv, probably the suffix was that I'm not sure. In other words, I didn't check the chicken coop an hour before Shabbos or yamtiv. You know, this egg that I just found now on yamtiv morning, this might very well have been there already since Erev Shabbos or Erev yamtiv. And if that's the case, it wasn't laid today, it was laid yesterday. So that's a suffix. I don't know when it was laid, whether it was laid yesterday or today. That's the suffix. And it says that the suffix is Asur. Frank Timara, why is it Asur? Rabbi that said that the problem of the Mishnah, the Beya Shinolda Beyonta, that it's Asur according to Beis Hillel, is because of Achana reasons. That's a speck of your eyes. What's the suffix derives? Because according to Rabba, it says in the Torah, Veichinu v'hoya b'yoyim hashishi, Veichinu eis asher yavil. You're supposed to do your achana on choil, not on Shabbos and not on Yom Tov. So there was I. If I don't know whether it was laid on Shabbos or on choil, that's a sfeik of the arise. Chol sfeik of the arise l'chomer. That's why it says sfeik asura. El Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amr Mishum Gzeira, Rabbi Yosef that said the Gzeira Mishum Peiris Anoshin, and Rabbi Yitzchak that said Mishum Mashkin Shezov, it's Chanoa Derabanan. Sveika Derabanani. Chol Sveika Derabanan Lekula. Why does it say Sveika is Asur? Everything more say Basol Lesofik Treifa. The Sveika that is listed here in this Brisa doesn't mean a Sofik of Beya Shnolda beyond it. It's talking about that the Beya itself is a Sofik Treifa. What does it mean that it's a Sofik Treifa? That maybe this beya inside has simoni typhus. Now, the choyra, there shouldn't be a major suffix. Open up the egg and see whether it's still an egg or whether it's a chick. But says Rashi, the suffix treif over here is suffix nolda meitana goilis treif. The shayla was, it has nothing to do with beya shenolda b'Shabbos or b'Yantav. This beya was laid on Tuesday or on Thursday, not on Shabbos or Yom Tov, goodish. But however, maybe the mammy hen was a treifa. And the halacha is that the eggs of a tiny goy, this treifa, they themselves are treifa. Hayoytze min atame tame. If it is a derivative, if it's the offspring of a Tarnagolus Trefa, then this egg also has a din of Trefa. Ah, if it's a Sulfic, whether the mommy was a Trefa or not, I don't know. Or if it was laid by one of the mommies, and one of the mommies I know is a Trefa, but I don't know which one is, which one is not. I don't know which hen laid this golden egg. Was it laid by the Trefa or by one that was not Trefa? That's my Suffolk. No, that's about a Suffolk deraisa, and that's why it's awesome. Says the Gemara, that's a way that you can answer the word Sveika, that the Suffolk means it's a Suffolk Trefa. But let's continue on. It says, in this Arva, the Elef Kulan Asurais, Sveika Mori Hachi, Eima Seif, in this Arva, the Elef Kulan Asurais. Iam is Vishmai, the Suffolk Gant of Suffolk Choyl. If you're going to tell me, like I learned simply until now, that the Suffolk is whether or not this egg was laid on Yontif, or laid already before Yontif. Then that's a Dovah Sheish L'Matir, L'Chol Dovah Sheish L'Matir, Na'afilu Be'alef Lei Batal. What does the Gemara mean to say? A Dovah Sheish L'Matir means that although presently it's Asur, but after a time interval passes, it will become Mutar. Kuli Alma Moida in our Mishnah, that if eggs were laid on Yontif, even though Basil says, Lo'isoichal, you can't eat it, you can't eat it today on Yontif. You can eat it on Chol HaMoed. You can eat it on Isru Chag, after Yontif. It's only a problem on Yontif, you're not allowed to go and eat it. Ah, that's called Dov Sheish L'Matir. That means eventually it will be mutter. In such a case, why should I say, eat it today, when it got mixed in with 1,000 other eggs? Let's wait until tomorrow, and then I'll be able to eat all of them l'chatchila, not only based on a bittul be'elef. I'll be able to eat it because it's mutter. So that's why I would say, if you're going to tell me Safik Trefa, this is never going to have a heter if it's the offspring of a hen, which is a Trefa, this is Trefa. And therefore it'll never have a heter. But the bottle Baruba, if this egg is now falling into 1,000 eggs, all of them are Asr. Even if it falls into 2 other eggs, it should be Mutter, because it should be bottle Baruba, like any case of Bittul Baruba. Maybe you're going to go and tell me, an egg is very, very special, and it doesn't become bottle. Why is an egg so special? So we're now going to get into a famous machloikis that appears several times in Shas about eshedarka limnei sheninu or kol shedarka limnei sheninu. And basically what that machloikis is, that there are certain food items that are considered to be so precious that you're not just going to buy it by the weight, or based on estimation, or based on a basket, but you're going to go and count each one individually. For instance, if you go and buy tomatoes or potatoes, in most places, they just do it by the weight. Some places will allow you to go and buy a basketful. How many are in the basket? I don't know. Maybe the 5, maybe the 10, maybe the 20. Doesn't make a difference. But eggs, everybody always goes and sells by the dozen. A dozen eggs. Why are they sold by the dozen? Because it's a double chashuv. You don't want to just give away 13 eggs or 14 eggs by mistake. You want to give away 12 eggs. You want to sell 12 eggs. And that's how you'll be, storekeeper will make his profits based on an exact number. So if you say that because of the fact that it is counted, it's a double chashuv, maybe that's the reason why it doesn't become bottle, even the elef, even the 1,000. Says Imar, Hanichal Mandiyama Kol Shedarka Lim Neshaniru. That's good according to the Mandiyama. That's Kol Shedarka. El Mandiyama Eshedarka Lim Neshaniru. My Ikalam Neymar. What is this Machloikis Kol Shedarka in Eshedarka? Eshedarka means that there's certain food items which are exclusively only sold by the number, exclusively. Nobody in the world sells them based on either an estimate or based on a basketful or based on weight. Everybody goes and counts it. That's what's eshedarka. Then this kol shedarka means that there's a much broader category of items that some people sell it by weight, and some people sell it by the number, some people sell it by estimate. So yes, there are a lot of people that sell it by the number, but not everybody. It's not across the board a universal practice. That's kol shedarka. And the Gemara assumes that the Beya falls into the caddy of the Kol Shadarkai, but not the Esh Shadarkai, as we'll see in a moment. The Gemara, Kol Shadarkai Lim Neshaninu is good, but Esh Shadarkai Lim Neshaninu, Mayik Alameim, did not even to the Mishnah. Who is the Mishnah? The Mishnah is Mesechtes Kilayim, Mesechtes Orla, which they done in the Mishnah. Mishoy Lechabile Tiltson Shokloya Karen. What happens if a person had Peklech? Kabila means bundles of Tiltson. Tiltson is fenugreek. Fenugreek is some sort of spice that are used in cooking. So if you have such packages of Tiltson, Shokloya Karen, that grew inside a vineyard, and therefore they had the benefit of the nourishment from the vines of the vineyard, as a din of kelayim, and the loch of kelayim is, you gotta go and burn kelayim. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, pen tuktash amaleya, and chazal dash, and tuktash means tukad esh. Kelayim has to be burnt. Okay, is it cool? Go and burn it. Now, when happens if these chavilei tiltson, which were kelayim, nisarvu bacheres, what happens if they got mixed into other chavilim, and those chavilim got mixed up into other chavilim, and so on and so forth. Kulon yivdeku, every one of them has to be burned, divrei Rav Meir. In other words, it is osur, and it does not become bottle. We'll see in a moment why. V'chomum oimer, no, it does become bottle. Yal ba'achas u'masayim, if you have 200 in addition to these chavilei tiltson, so you have altogether 201, then it becomes bottle. It's a special halacha by Orla and Kilayim that it becomes bottle in 201. Truma becomes bottle in 101, and they become bottle in 201. Now, what's the reason for the machlokes? Says the Marsha, you're a mayor, Oimer, as Shadar Kalimno is Mekadesh. Something which is counted, that is, never becomes bottle. He uses the term Eshadarkoi, but we'll see in a moment in another 3-4 lines that it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether a mayor means Eshadarkoi or Kol Shadarkoi. Stay tuned for further elaboration. The Chomim Oimrim, the Chomim say, no, not the Chavili Tiltson. Eina Mekadesh El Shishad Varm Buvat. Only time that I say that it never becomes bottle is the following 6 items. And these 6 items, it's not because of Eshadarkoi or Kol Shadarkoi, but the reason is because these 6 items are very precious, very special. What are the 6? We'll see in a moment. Rabbi Kiva, Oy Meshiva, that there's 7. Now, what are the 6 or 7? The Elohim. Egoizim Perach. Egoizim that come from a place called Perach. That's what Rashi learns over here, that there's a town or a city called Perach, and their egoizim, their nuts, were absolutely scrumptious and delicious. Parenthetically, there are other mafarshim that learn egoizim Perach means pistachio nuts, because Perach means to break open, and these are egoism that you eat by breaking them open and eating the inside pistachio nuts, and apparently this was not a common commodity in those days, and it was considered to be very precious, and that's why it does not become bottle. But Rashi over here doesn't learn pistachio nuts, he learns egoism Perach, it's the name of a place. V'rimoinim Baden. Rimoinim, of course, are pomegranates that come from the city of Baden. V'chovies Tumais. Chavis Tumais means you're selling or you have a wine barrel which is sealed. The Chalfei Tardin. Tardin are beets, and these are, and the article says that they are prickly beets. Also very, very choshev, very special. Kalchi Kruv are cabbage stalks. The Dalas Yavonis are Greek pumpkins or Greek gourds. Now these items are very, very precious, very expensive. You only get it in a special store, and therefore these do not become bottle afilu be'elef. Where a bekiva moisim af kikrishu balabais. If you have not a kikar bread that was baked in a bakery, because the baked bread in a bakery, you see that all 100 breads look exactly the same. If you have a kikrishu balabais, every balabas, every private baker at home, whether it's a man or a lady, they bake their breads differently than anybody else, and therefore each one of them is unique on its own, and therefore it doesn't become bottle. Shai. Now, when we spoke about them becoming bottle and not becoming bottle, legabi which halacha, says the Mishnah, says the Brisa, royli orla orla baroyli kloya kerem, kloya kerem. Those items that are fruits, then we could talk about the din of orla. Those items which are vegetables, we can't talk about orla, because there's no din of orla by vegetable. Shalashonim yilechem arevim lo yachel. So the din of orla only applies to ilone machel, eitz machel, to fruits. So those items that we spoke about twice, rimoinim badam, rimoinim of course are fruits. So then you can go and talk about orla. But some of those other things such as cabbage or beets, those are not fruits. So though you could talk there about kloyake. So the kloyake, kloyake. The Igmar Allah, in explaining Reb Meir, put aside now the Chachamim and Rebbe Kiva. We're looking at Reb Meir. Reb Meir said the Gabe, the Chaveli Tiltzon, you know why it does not become bottle, even in 1,000, says Reb Meir, Eshedarkoi Limnois Mekadish. Now that was the Lashon of the Mishnah. However, there's a machlokes between between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Says the Gemara, my Lord, Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, Eshedarka Lim Nishini. That's Taka what Rameya said, Eshedarka. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Omar, Kol Shedarka Lim Nishini. He didn't say S. He said Kol. Now again, what's the difference between S and Kol? S means which it's exclusively sold and purchased by number, while kol means some people sell it by number, some people sell it by estimating, some people sell a basketful without counting them. That's what we call kol shedaka. So kol shedaka means an item which you can buy it by the number. Not everybody sells it by the number. Many people do, many people don't. There too, Rav Shimon Lakish says, according to the mayor, it doesn't become bottle because there are 20%, 50%, 80% of the people that sell it by the number. So says Imar, Hanich Rav Shimon Lakish. So let's get back to our eggs. The Gemara assumes that eggs is not exclusively sold by number, but many people sell it by selling you a basket of eggs. Of course, today, I don't think that is the case. I know it never found a person going to a store and buying a basket of eggs. You always buy a dozen of eggs, or 2 dozen, or 3 dozen. Just going, just a basket. Maybe there are places, I don't know. I didn't go throughout the whole world. But at least here in the United States, I think everything is sold, eggs are always sold exclusively by the number. But that apparently was not the case in the time of our Gemara. And therefore, some people sold eggs, or many people, most people sold it by the number, by the dozen. Baker's dozen, but by the dozen. But a lot of other people sold it by estimating or by a basket of eggs. And that being the case, says Imara, when it says about the egg, that it was a sveika of trefa, why does it say in that price that we learned that a filib elef loy bottle in this arab elef kulun asurais? Why didn't it become bottle barayf? Because veyach hashuvihi. Why is veyach hashuvihi? If you hold like Hanich Reb Shimon Lakish that holds that egg is one of that category of the kol shedarka limnois, many people sell it by the number, many people don't. But that doesn't matter. Since many people sell it by the number, it's a dover choshev. That's why it doesn't become bot. But if you're going to call me Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says only eshedarkai, it's not true that eggs are sold exclusively by number. Many eggs are sold by many storekeepers by the basket, by the estimate. Yeah, just fill up this bag. As many eggs as go into the bag. The bag costs you $5. Whether you could squeeze in 12 eggs, 15 eggs, 18 eggs, I don't care. Take whatever you want. One bag of eggs. If that's the case, why didn't the egg become bottle? The Tana in that Braisa that said that it doesn't become bottle, that is the Tana of the Litra Ketzios. Now what is this Litra Ketzios all about? We'll start on it. We're going to continue and finish it off tomorrow. But Litra Ketzios means a litter is probably similar to what we call a litter today. In other words, it's a measure, a volume. And Ketzios means figs that have been cut and are being pressed. And the shaila that we're talking about over here is that there is some truma that got mixed in with chulin, and I'm not exactly sure where that truma is. So it's what we call meduma. Now, there is more than, there's a roiv against it, but when it comes to truma, you have to have 100 times against it. So what happened over here? Zokti Yumara. Tana the Dutchiasu, the Amakodavishima Minyana Philip Bidra Bonum Lai bottle. Since when you sell figs, you sell them individually. Today people buy cakes of figs where they're all pressed together. However, apparently in the times of Chazal, when you had such a cake of figs, they would go and remove them one by one and sell each one individually. Okay, that's a kol davar shebeminyan. It wasn't exclusively individually, but it's a kol davar. Kol davar shebeminyan, afilu midrabanan le'batel, it doesn't become batel even though it's drabanan. The reason why litra ketzias is drabanan is because all trumas and maisrois are midrabanan, with the exception of tvua and goyren and yekev. What do we mean? It says in the pasuk, "Reishis digoncha tiroishcha v'yitzarecha." Reishis digoncha dogan means the five different grains. Tiroishcha, tiroish is wine or grapes. V'yitzarecha is referring to olives and olive oil. Those are the only things which are mechuyev betrumas amaisis minatoyer. Even though figs are one of the sheva minim shenishtapcha ben eretz Yisrael, that's true, but it doesn't have a din of trumas amaisis min hatoyra, only midraban. Ah, so this literal ketzias is talking about figs. So it's talking about midrabanon. Ditnan, literal ketzias, yadorz alpeya igov eni yadir ba'eza igol dorz. So, he went and he was dores, it means he went and pressed them on a mold, on a kli, which is called an igol. Dorz alpeya chavias, where he did it on the top or on the cover of a barrel, then yadir ba'eza chavias dorz. So I don't know which top of which barrel, alpi kaveres ben yedei beizik kaveres darsa, or some other type of container that he pressed it on, but I don't know where that is. What's the halacha about that truma? The Meir says one halacha, Rav Yudah says another halacha, but the conclusion of that brisa, which Mishnah, or this Mishnah that we're going to learn again tomorrow night, will be that even though this is drabanan, afilu b'sholish meyos, which means afilu b'elef loy bottle, and that's the Tana of the Mishnah that we're learning here above. We're talking about not a suffix whether it was noiled b'shabbos or yontif, we're talking about a noiled, a suffix of a trefa, and the reason why it doesn't become bottle afilu b'elef, because it's going according to one mandiyama by litra ketzios. That mandiyama, by the way, is Rabbi Yehuda Aliba de Rabbi Yehoshua, which we're going to learn tomorrow, that what does Rabbi Yehuda say according to Rabbi Yeshua, that even though this is only a din of truma midrabanan, since it's a dover sheb minyan, afilo bi elef lai batul te kolshkein, the case of a treifa, suffic treifa diyar isa. Any questions, Rabbi Yisai? Hearing none. Okay, before we get to the question, before people get off the line, just to remind everyone, we do not have a tape from the previous machzor for tomorrow for Shabbos Kodesh, and that's why we're going to have a special extraordinary shir tomorrow night, again focusing on eggs among other things, an extraordinary shir, mention at 10 o'clock on Matzah Shabbos, everybody's cordially being invited. Yes, Uri, what's your question? 10 o'clock Matzah Shabbos, 10 o'clock tomorrow night. And a mitzvah on Sunday, the next year, Sunday share mitzvah, I believe, is 8:15. Barry was kind enough to send out an email yesterday with the schedule over the next few days. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, and I believe Sunday, 8:15.